All right. Great time of worship. Amen. Yeah. Kristen did a really great job leading us this morning. Wonderful. Wonderful. You know what today is? Today is May 4th. You know, to some in this room, there's extra meaning behind this day. And if you know what this is, you can say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Star Wars Day. Really, I'm more of a Star Trek man from way back. But I got lots of friends, lots of people on the worship team are Star Wars fans. And, of course, what they say today is, may the 4th be with you. Isn't that clever? Yes, very clever. What they mean is, of course, is the Force. May the Force be with you. And in Star Wars culture, the Force is something, it's kind of like the Holy Spirit, the way it's presented. It gives certain people power to do amazing things. And, you know, certain people like a Jedi Knight. But I hate to break it to you, but the Force, it's made up. It really is. It's made up. Yes, it is. It is made up. And the good news is that the Holy Spirit is real. And unlike the Force, which can be used for evil by people like Darth Vader, the Holy Spirit is always good. And so we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today as we begin our journey, our new journey on the book of Acts. Now, because of some things that are happening in the near future, like we have Mother's Day and we have the pastoral candidate coming in a couple of weeks, this will get broken up a little bit, but we're going to be in the book of Acts for a little while. And it's also known as the Acts of the Apostles, but I would suggest that it could have other names. And I'm actually serious about that because it really is the Holy Spirit and the church or the coming of the Holy Spirit and how he changed the world through believers in Jesus Christ. That would be kind of a long name. So it's a mad world. That's also a long name. But that's really what the book of Acts is about, is the coming of the Holy Spirit and what happened. What happened in the world? What happened to the church? And that book supplies in story fashion tales of the exploits of the Holy Spirit through various individuals. Sometimes there's miracles of physical healing. Sometimes it's a boldness to share the gospel in different ways. Just how the Holy Spirit uses people. Instead of the Holy Spirit coming upon a single individual like it was in the Old Testament, whether it was Moses or Samson, where the Holy Spirit would just come on them, or Elijah, the Holy Spirit is given to all who believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. And not just coming on them, but remaining in them. What a miracle that is. So this is the amazing book of Acts. The exploits of the Holy Spirit working through many different individuals, being obedient to the call of God in their lives. And so we might just find that the same Holy Spirit wants to move and work in you through you as well. Now, I'd like to read a portion of Scripture that we're going to come back to a little bit later, and it's Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It should be on the screen, I believe. And it says this, "And they devoted themselves," this is the believers, "to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So this is a picture of the church being led by the Holy Spirit. And again, we're going to come back to this in just a little bit. So there's almost universal agreement that the same author that wrote the book of Luke is the same author that wrote the book of Acts. So that would be Luke. And they both address the same individual, Theophilus. And Acts refers to the former book that the author wrote. And the two books are common in style and vocabulary. So we know from Colossians 4:14 that Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, was a physician. We also know that he joined Paul on several of his missionary journeys. We also know that he was probably not a Jew. He was probably a Gentile. Paul names him in a separate list from his Jewish associates. So this could help explain why Luke has a keen interest in the spread of the gospel from its Jewish roots to the Gentile world. So we heard last week from Pastor Ben, who did a fantastic job, that it was over a period of 40 days that Jesus appeared to his disciples, and he spoke more about the kingdom of God. So we're going to begin with Acts chapter 1. We're going to land on, as I said earlier, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. So as has been my custom lately when I'm going through kind of long portions of scripture, we're going to be walking through the book of Acts. Sometimes I'll read some of the scripture. Sometimes I'll just tell you what it says and kind of summarize. So in verse 4 of chapter 1, Jesus tells his disciples, while they are eating, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So the baptism of John was all about repentance from sin. And the baptism of the Spirit is going to be this new age of salvation, empowerment for ministry. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is going to be about. And verse 9 says, speaking of Jesus, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Now that must have been incredible. The only thing I could compare that to, and I don't know how many of you have seen The Matrix. How many of you have seen The Matrix? Some of you, okay. The Matrix, I'm not telling you to go watch The Matrix, okay? Can I just say that? But at the very end, I can't even remember the character's name. What is it? Neo, that's it, Neo. It's really kind of, even if you just want to watch the closing scene, he walks out of this phone booth, and then he whoosh, goes up into the sky and flies away. And Jesus, I'm sure, was even more spectacular than that, just being able to watch him just go. And it says he disappeared up into the clouds. And I'm sure it was incredible. And in verses 12 through 23, we find out that the apostles, they replaced Judas for good reason. Judas betrayed Jesus and so they need to replace him. And they replace him with a man named Matthias, who was chosen by lot. We then come to chapter 2. And we find, this is where we're going to find out what Jesus predicted. And he spoke of to the apostles that they were to wait for the gift of the Spirit. And in this case, being such an important and momentous occasion for all of mankind, God chose to make it very spectacular. Okay? Something that would always be remembered. Kind of reminds me when the angels came to announce to the shepherds that the Messiah was born. Now, it wasn't, it could have been just like an angel that appeared, which there was an angel that appeared. But it could have been, kind of low key, whatever. But no, God made it spectacular. He brought a host of angels praising God. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and it was incredible. God chose in these big moments to make things quite spectacular. And as the believers were praying, they were meeting together. There were about 120 of them, Scripture says, in this upper room. And then this incredible divine event occurs. So we're going to pick it up at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And now remember, this is all brand new to the world. In the Old Testament, it was just a few individuals that the Holy Spirit would come upon. Okay? This is going to change everything. Chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. So we find that in this divine, incredible event, there is this really loud noise, like... Oftentimes we think that it was a rushing wind. It doesn't say that. It says that there was a sound like a rushing wind, and it must have been very loud. And then they found these people speaking in their own language. And verse 7 says, they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. I'm just doing my best here, friends. Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt. I know that one. And the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene. And visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. Or some others say, sweet wine. So, I can only imagine. I like to try to put myself in these situations. If you were in Jerusalem during the Feast of Pentecost and you hear a loud, violent, rushing wind. So loud that you're not even in that room. You're outside. And you hear it. And you're like, what in the world is going on? What is that? It might even be a bit frightening. It's so loud. And so all these people are coming together, and then they find the source of this noise, and it's these 120 people, and then they hear them speaking praises to God in their own languages. I mean, it could be a little scary because it's divine. It's heaven opened, and you're able to see or hear what's happening. What an amazing, amazing time that must have been. And in verse 14, it says, no, the people were not drunk, for it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is Peter addressing the crowd, answering their questions. What in the world is going on? And he then quotes the prophet Joel from the Old Testament, and he says, Acts 2:17 says, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. He then quotes other Old Testament scriptures speaking of the resurrection of the Messiah. He explains to them about Jesus, and that Jesus was the Messiah that they had been waiting for. So then they ask, which you can understand why, well, brothers, what shall we do then? What are we supposed to do? And verse 38 says, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Now, if you think about it, it took great faith for Peter to make such a bold statement, a faith that came from the Holy Spirit himself. This event had never happened before. Peter's proclaiming that the Holy Spirit is going to fill anyone who believes. This is obviously the Holy Spirit empowering Peter to be bold and witness. And it's an incredible moment. And we're going to find this from Peter in other portions of the book of Acts. So in this case, God wanted people to know that something spectacular was happening, something that would be recorded and remembered forever. Not only the unseen, but the seen, the whole experience. Of course, they all wondered what in the world was going on. What did it mean? I often wonder if we could see in the spirit, which is really what happens here. God decides, I'm gonna open the veil a little bit here. You're gonna see some spiritual things that are gonna kind of blow your mind, and it did. And it was an amazing, amazing time. So what happens right after the Holy Spirit is given in such a spectacular fashion? Verse 41 says, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." The first thing that happened as a result of the Holy Spirit being poured out on mankind was the power to witness, the power to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just to tell them, but in power, so that the Holy Spirit would touch the hearts of people. And God has given the Holy Spirit for all who believe. 3,000 saved that day. But the Holy Spirit was not just given for the power to witness, we often use that word, it's a very Christian-sounding word, witness. It's basically saying that you, just like in a courtroom where you share what you have seen or what you know, that's what it is. You have experienced Jesus Christ, and so you're going to tell somebody else, this is what I know. This is what I know for sure, and this will change your life. This is where we go back to verse 42, actually forward. "To the fellowship of the believers," and I'm going to read through this again, "and they devoted themselves," this is after the Holy Spirit is given, "to the apostles' teaching," and just so you know, they're probably teaching the words of Jesus, okay? "And the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." So I think that we can gather from this scripture a bit of a window into what true fellowship can consist of. Now, there have been movements over all these many years where people, we need to do exactly what they did. This is really not describing that. It's describing what it looks like to be the church. These are the characteristics. It isn't, this is how you do it. It's more, this is what these people became. It's not how to do things in a church service, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's what changed in these people. This is what kind of people they become because of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. So I have a few points here too.
Just breaking this portion of Scripture down, let's find out what happened to the people. What happened to the people? Number one, they pray and they listen to the words of Jesus being preached. So it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So they become a people of prayer, a people of faith. And they're constantly learning about the kingdom of God. This is their focus. And I think we can learn from that. We can learn from all of these points. They pray, and they pray together, and they're glad to pray together because they're excited. They're excited about God. They're excited about what God is doing, and we're going to go through that here in a minute. Constantly learning. Ask yourself that question. Are you constantly learning from the Word of God, from preaching? Now, I have heard some great preaching in my life. I've heard some average preaching, and I've heard some poor preaching. But even the poor preaching, I can learn something. Okay, always remember that. Try not to, if somebody's not doing too well up here, there's always something to learn. If it's based on the Word of God, there's always something to learn. Okay, are you with me there? Yeah, okay. Number two, they have a healthy fear and awe of God. It says, awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Things were happening. Divine things, miraculous things. And they were like, whoa, what is happening? Number three is they have unity. It says, all who believed were together and had all things in common. Now, some people mistake this for like communalism or communism. That's not what this is. Because these people are giving voluntarily. They're not being told, you have to do this. They're doing this voluntarily. And they still retain personal possessions. It's not like they sell everything they have. But it's as the Spirit leads. They still own homes. They still own property. Sometimes they're selling them. The church views itself as a family. And healthy families take care of their own. And that's something we can learn. I think we do a good job of that. That's something we can always grow in as a church. Taking care of our own people. And making sure that everybody has what they need. We do our best. And to be able to teach people, you know, how to take care of themselves and maybe to do better with their families. But at the same time, we take care of one another. And so number four is to take care of each other's needs. They were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. It's pretty simple. They loved and cared for one another. Number five, they fellowship regularly, and they have a spirit of gratitude toward God. They enjoy each other's company. Verse 46, it says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they receive their food with glad and generous hearts. They are a grateful people. They are humble, and they are authentic. Now, were they ever not these things? Probably. But overall, because they're humans, but overall, this is what was happening. They were grateful. That's going to go a long way in your life. If you're a grateful person, you're going to find yourself speaking well of situations and speaking well of other people. If you're a grateful person, just that in and of itself. Because you understand who God is, you understand who you are. And you understand what he has done for you was nothing that you did. So you're grateful. So you become grateful for food. You become grateful for the things you do have. And it affects your entire life. You'll be grateful. And when you're grateful, you become humble. Because you're not telling everybody else what they ought to do. You see you and you see God. And you recognize who he is in your life. I'm not saying that you never tell somebody else what they need to do. What I am saying is that you look at yourself first before you do that. And you're authentic. You are authentic. You don't have a personal agenda that you're not laying out there. You are real. You're real. Number six. Others are being saved through preaching, caring for others, and their unity. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to those who were being saved. Well, why were they having favor with all the people? You know, I think that's part of a problem with Christianity, and has been for a long, long time, is we're not always thought of favorably by non-Christians, the community. Now, some of that is because if people don't want to serve God, a lot of the times they're not going to want to hear what you have to say. I understand that. There is something there. The devil's a big part of that too. He's not going to want them to hear. That's a part of that as well. But because of these people's behavior and their love for one another, they had favor at that time. They had favor among all the people, it says. And what was the result of this? People were being saved. People were being saved. I thought about this later after I had my message was all completed. And you know, a lot of things happened, you know, as Jesus was dying, and the people, it says the crowd was big, wanting him to be crucified. But things happened. Things happened, like darkness fell over the land for hours. I mean, can you imagine? And you were one of the people yelling, "Crucify this guy." Something happened there. We've talked about this recently with Easter, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. That was another thing that they found out. They saw Jesus interacting with the other thieves on the cross. They saw lots of things, and I wonder if those things, plus by this time they had heard that Jesus has appeared to many over a long period of time, 40 days. So I wonder if the people, with all of this that was happening, those are some of the reasons why suddenly they were willing to listen. And so many people were being saved. And so when they see the behavior of these Christians, and they're loving one another, and they're not yelling at people, and they're not calling people out and saying, "You ought to be doing this, you ought to be doing that," but they're loving people, it's causing people to be saved. All of these things speak to humility and love for one another. It's what the Holy Spirit does. And this is what becomes of people who really live by the Spirit. And it reminds me of the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. It says this. He says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains," by the way, all of these are good things, "but don't have love, I am what? I'm nothing. I am nothing." Think about anybody that you've seen throughout your life who may have done all these things, but if they're not loving people, it's not worth a thing. if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, or another version says to be burned, basically that I'm going to give my whole life away. But if I don't have love, real love, I gain nothing. Nothing. In whatever we do, in whatever we say, in whatever spiritual things are important to you, remember that. And I have to remember it. If I don't have love, it's not worth anything. Even if, you know, of course, most of you know I'm a musician. You just saw me play. If with what I'm doing up here is about me, it's about being watched, it's about, if I can do this guitar lick, wow. If it's about that, especially in the church, it's worthless. It's worthless. And I know that. I know that. But I want us to also focus on something else that's mentioned in verse 43. It mentions this awe that was among the people. This reverence, this fear, this amazement of the fact that God is real. Not just what was handed down to them from generations. Imagine if you're them. You're Jewish, many of them, and they what a history they have with God. And so they're not depending on that. They have a faith that's alive, that's new, that is in awe of who God is and what he's doing. They had a sense that they were a part of something greater than themselves or their own efforts. Have you ever been a part of something like that? Where you saw that God was so in something that you were a part of, that it was so much bigger than you, than your efforts, your talents, and that it humbled you. And it's almost like, oftentimes I like to think of it as a train that's going by, as if the Holy Spirit is a train and God decides, Roger, I want you to be a part of something that I'm doing right now, but you have to be willing to take that step and jump on that train and be on that train. And then, so then it's not about my talents, what I can do. It's about being a part of something so much bigger than me. So much bigger than me. I can remember I had this very specific moment in my life where, it had to do with doing musicals and things like that. And it was many years ago, but I'll never forget this moment. The church where I was at was in the middle of these grass fields, and you had to drive 7 miles from any direction to get to this church. It was, it had the worst location, you would think, ever. You think, well, how in the world is anybody going to get out there? How are they going to know it's even there? Well, anyway, many of you know the story. So the church grew really fast. Part of it was doing these musicals and lots of music things. And I am a musical person, but these people started coming that had all these different gifts. I didn't ask them to come. They just showed up. And I just remember all these people were getting saved. And it wasn't because of anything I was doing. It was, I had gotten out of my car, and it's in the middle of the country. It was nighttime. We were going to do one of the events that night. And I remember walking up to the church. I was the first person there, which was often the case. And it was completely pitch dark out there. And I stopped about halfway, and I just looked up at the stars, and I went, this is so much bigger than me. all these people are getting saved and discipled, and I'm just like walking in it. And I just thanked God right at that moment. I said, thank you, Lord, that you included me in this. What a blessing. What a way to make your life count for something. Something important. And it's because of God. And many of you, I'm sure, have experienced something like that in your life. Maybe you were part of some kind of a ministry of some kind, or part of a church where lots of things were happening, or maybe something that was happening here, and you're like, wow, this is amazing. I'm so privileged to be a part of this, that something that God is doing. And these people, they recognized they were a part of something that was so much bigger than themselves. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, remember, we talked about that, it's got to be love, may have strength to comprehend, this is quite a thought, with all the saints, with everybody, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. This is huge. This is beyond what we can ask or think. The Apostle Paul is talking about being able to comprehend how big God is in some sense that we have. Of course, we can never fully understand. One day we will be face to face. But right now, we just get glimpses. We get an image in a mirror. Back then, their mirrors were not very clear. And so they just would see kind of a hazy picture. And that's kind of where we're at today. But his prayer is that we are able to really experience God, because it will change us. And when we pursue God, it's not about what we do. It's to know his unsurpassing love and goodness, his beautiful holiness, more and more and more, in a sense of awe and amazement. This is what they had. They had a sense of awe and amazement. Their hearts were full. They had this healthy fear of God because they saw these guys doing these miracles, these apostles, and they were seeing all these people come to Christ. They were seeing the Holy Spirit moving, and they were just in awe of God. That's a huge part of the church being like this. Let me just go back a little bit. They were together. They had all things in common. Some of you are like, oh, I don't like coming to some of these things. I don't like coming to gatherings at the church. Come on now. That's what we're about. That's what we're about. We're about fellowship. We're about being so in awe of God. And that can be in your personal life. That could be in your personal prayer time. That could be when you're in the Word of God. That can be when you're sharing with another person just how great God is. And just rejoicing with somebody. Oh, isn't God amazing that he does these things? We've seen people healed lately. Isn't God amazing at what he does? You know, and people saved. Isn't God amazing at what he does? God is incredible. He is absolutely incredible. God, may you reach every person within the sound of my voice. Even if somebody who's been a Christian many, many years and has experienced a lot of things, Lord, we will never be done learning. Lord, even when we walk in there with you and we see you face to face, we'll be learning forever because you are limitless. Lord, may everybody within the sound of my voice, whether they're online, whether they are here in person, Lord, that they will experience you Lord God, because you're wonderful and you're beautiful and you're powerful, and the love that you have for us, we don't have anything to compare it to, really. There's love for our children, but even that doesn't scratch the surface. There's love for our families. Even that doesn't scratch the surface, Lord. Forgive us of our sin. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us to know you better, that we may live in a way that you would want us to, that we learn to love each other, Lord God, and we know that we must first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things are added, that you are first, and we must know you personally. Hallelujah. 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 If you're a person here and maybe you've never made that decision to accept Jesus Christ, while everybody's still in an attitude of prayer, and you want to know God, and I'm talking, and the Bible talks about how great God is and how wonderful he is and how he can change your life and make you a wonderful person. Maybe you want that today. Maybe that's you. Then I'm going to ask you to raise your hand when I can count to three, and I would just like you to raise your hand. This is between you and God. I will be looking because I want to see. So if that's you today, I'm going to count to three, and I just want you to raise your hand that you want to know God and you've not known him before. So one, two, three. Raise your hand if that's you. Raise your hand if that's you. I see you. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay. Wonderful. And if you didn't raise your hand, but you still have that in your heart, because that happens too. Sometimes we ask people to come down front, and they don't come down front. That doesn't mean that you didn't mean it. It just means you didn't get up out of your seat and come down front. But if you didn't raise your hand, it's okay. It's okay, but you just mean business with God. And so I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want everybody to pray with me. And if that's you, then I just want you to pray this very simple prayer. I'm going to pray it in the way that I pray, which is pretty simple and straight up with God, because I know he doesn't care about any big words. So, dear Jesus, I want to know you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me brand new. Turn my life around. I want to know you. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you lived. I believe you died. I believe you rose again for me. Amen. Amen. All right, you guys can all look up. Now, if you prayed that prayer today, I am so happy for you. The adventure is just beginning. This God that we know will make himself real to you. I remember, if I could have the worship team come up, that'd be great. I shared this before, of course. My son, both my kids went through this. They came to a point in their lives where, you know, they were raised in the church. They were raised to believe in Jesus. But they both had to come to a place where they said, I believe it for myself. Not because I've been taught it, or because my parents believe it, but because I believe it. And I remember this talk with my son. I remember exactly where I was. And we were standing in front of the house, right in front of the front door. And he said, Dad, he just stopped, turned around. He said, Dad, it was just one of the hardest moments in the world for me. I love my son. And he, I don't know, he might have been 16. He said, Dad, I don't know for sure that I believe like I've been taught all these years. He goes, I just want to tell you that. And it was so hard for me. I wanted to shake him. But I knew I couldn't do that. I said, son, I love you. God has to reveal himself to you, but he will. God will reveal himself to you. I'm so glad you told me. I'll be praying for you. And I had to let it go. I had to let it go. And he went through some stuff. Both my kids did. And those times aren't very fun. But in the end, God did reveal himself to my son. Serves the Lord today. And also my daughter. And because God will do that. God will reveal himself to you if you're looking. All of you who have experienced that, say amen. 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 Let's all stand up. Oh, amen. I'm going to close with one of my favorite songs. Kristen picked all the songs, and when I saw she was closing with this, I went, yes! It's called Hosanna. Oh, echo. Gotta wait for me because I gotta put my guitar on, so please be patient. I don't want to miss out on a single note of this song.